This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the five-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. I am your host, Evan Lazar. Alongside me, as always, Adam Kirchin. And Adam, we are getting into, I think, one of the most important groups in this entire draft for the Patriots, and that is the offensive line. We know that their needs at offensive tackle are going to lead them to draft at least one of these guys, I would say, at some point in the draft. We also know that they have a pretty keen eye from a certain interior offensive lineman from Boston College that we'll get to in a little bit. But I want to start with the tackles, and we were just talking about it, me and you nerding out about Dalton Risner from Kansas State, who I think is going to be a first-round pick, or at least at the end of the first round, just because he is extremely pro-ready. Obviously, we were just talking about his power at the point of attack and his hand usage and stuff like that. But what did you like most about him? And do you see first-round pick written all over him?
I definitely do. I think he's one of those guys that a lot of people are going to have mocked towards the end of the first round, and somebody will like him a little bit higher. Just because they'll fall in love with it. Because his tape really is quite excellent. He's a really good run blocker, and they were mostly a running team to begin with. And in that capacity, he's showed a good agility to pull on stuff. He's very, very strong at the point of attack. He's got really long arms. He is powerful. He doesn't get out of position too often. I like his technique and fundamentals for the most part. He's one of those guys that we were talking about. You think should get beat more often by speed rushers, but it just doesn't happen a lot.
So
we're also talking about, like, there's a lot of instances in his film where he'll just grab a guy and throw him to the turf. Yeah. You know, it's a real, you know, men against boys situation with him sometimes. So I like him a lot.
Yeah, hit on two things. First of all, we're starting to sound like Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. We were just talking off the air. And here we go. But regardless, I think we could let people into our text message exchanges, and you find out a whole lot more about these guys than what we talk about on the podcast even.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think that, you know, one of the things that stands out with what you just said, when you're evaluating a lot of these guys, the college offenses make it a little bit difficult to get some natural pass set film out of a lot of these dudes, right? Because a lot of these offenses like Kansas State don't throw the football a whole lot. And when they do throw the football, it's a lot of quick, pre-diagnosed reads, where you're making quick decisions, getting the ball out quickly because the play is designed to, go to this little swing screen or go to this little hitch or things that are just quick hitting type routes. And there's not a whole lot of traditional drop back passing in the college game. So that makes it overall a little bit difficult with some of these guys. Now with Risner, I think what the great thing about him is that he is always centered and squared to every single block that he makes.
Exactly.
Even if he's pass setting, which I don't think is necessarily, if he has a weakness, it's not his strength. His strength is definitely run blocking. But even in his pass setting, he hits his landmarks and he's always square to the guys. So what that makes people do, and this is perfect if you're going to be a tackle protecting Tom Brady, is that it makes you have to go through that person instead of going around them and bending the edge and turning the corner, because you just can't get there because of the way that he sets. So I think that that's really one thing that stands out to me. The other thing that stands out is that obviously his hand strength is just immense, and his upper body strength in general is just pretty ridiculous, especially for a college guy. I mean, he's developed in that aspect. Yeah. He is not your typical 21, 22 year old that I know. I certainly was not that strong at 22 years old. So to be able to see that as for just a college kid is pretty incredible. There was a clip from the Senior Bowl that I saw and this was just fun to watch in general. I watched a bunch of this when I was watching both guys, Chris Lindstrom playing right guard and Dalton Risner playing right tackle.
Yeah.
And it was just it was offensive line porn. And I'm watching it, and they executed this combo block where Chris Lindstrom was the chip and climb guy as the guard, but him and Risner just absolutely put somebody into the ground on a double team as Lindstrom was chipping up to the second level. And it, when you watch that, you're just like Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon. Like that's like exactly what those two guys look like when they do it. And you watch Risner and Lindstrom do it and you're like, all right, I'll take that for the next 10 years, you know, like pencil me in there. Now, because it just, you know, to be complete here, to talk about some of the weaknesses that Risner does have, there are not many of them. He allowed 5 total pressures in the entire season last year and no sacks, which is just like incredible. I mean, you know,
and he wasn't going up against scrubs all the time, man. No. You got some good video in there.
Yeah, even if you're, you know, not pass setting like a traditional pass setter, these 7-step drops or, you know, play action where the quarterback's turning his back to the line of scrimmage or anything like that, you give up 5 pressures in a Power 5 conference, that you're doing something right. And that's exactly what he did. Now, the one thing that, and I don't even know if it's really a concern or a problem, is there's a little false step in his kick slide. His inside foot moves like ever so slightly before his outside foot does. And this is like one of those things that like, you know, an offensive line coach or somebody that's as nerdy as I am is going to pick out and say, okay, like we need to fix that. But like, it obviously didn't affect him, you know, like, it didn't affect him one bit. But when you look at that, it does lead to like a little bit of a less depth that you would like out of that kick slide, which against guys that can really bend the corner in the NFL, you like kind of, you know, that's a little bit of a concern. But you can coach that out of him. And even if you don't, even if it's like still a little bit there, he's still dominant in a lot of phases of the game. I just think that like a team that's like kind of desperate for offensive line help, like maybe Oakland, who has like 3 first round picks, or like Seattle, who's picking in like the early 20s, is going to just like be like, all right, this guy's like a plug and play right tackle for us on day one. Let's just go with it.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think he can play on the left side, you know. I think his best spot obviously is right tackle, but I do think he's somebody that would fare well, but especially, you know, once he gets a little bit of experience. Because like we said, you know, we were talking about, you know, you expect these speed rushers to beat him, and they don't. And then, you know, like you said, they have to square up against him. You can't go through this guy, or at least I haven't seen it.
No.
You know, so he's just got great tools. I think he's going to be a very, very solid lineman for a long time.
Yeah, he drops that anchor, as they say, and he does not get moved. And I agree that he could probably play some left tackle if he needed to, which, again, I think that also adds some value to him as like a swing tackle as a rookie if you don't have like a immediate starting position open for him, like a team like the Patriots maybe that want to play Isaiah Wynn at left tackle next year. He has some of that swing tackle versatility, I would say, a little bit. And you add him as like a 6th offensive lineman or something like that in the running game, then you know, you're really going to be bowling some guys over. All right, let's move on to the next one here, who was the blindside protector for some guy named Will Greer last year in Yadni Kajust at West Virginia. Whenever you get tasked with being a blindside protector for like a Heisman candidate type quarterback, like, you know that the coaching staff trusts you to be in that spot.
Yeah. He's great, and they've done well in South Florida, West Virginia. They've done well with the South Florida kids for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about the tackles that come out of there, that particular region of the country, is they're blocking really good defensive ends from a very young age. And you can just tell, you know, how athletic this guy is. You know, as opposed to Risner, when you said speed rushers are going to kill him, I mean – he's almost the opposite. Like, you feel like, you know, you're not going to get around this guy, but you might be able to bull rush him a little bit. But again, I didn't really see a lot of people beat him that way. I didn't see a lot of people beat him, period. You know, I think he's an athletic guy. One of my favorite plays, I forget who it was against, but they ran a screen pass and he got out to the edge and found a defensive back, and it wasn't an easy block, and just swallowed him up. And you know how much the Patriots rely on screens and their offensive tackles to move. He's a guy that can do that, all that stuff that they ask of him. And I think that's really, you know, that's really something the Patriots would look at if he was there.
Yeah. What I love most about him too is that his posture is always really good. Like he's always back on the balls of his feet and his head is always back. And he's got this like very easy pass set to him, right? Like when he pass sets, it's like, you can see that it's effortless and like kind of natural movements to him, which is kind of not always a guarantee because it's not really a natural movement for a human in general to like kind of do, you know, that kind of thing. So it's always great when you see that natural ability in that posture. He's got great torque too, like his upper body, he can just throw guys on the ground, and he's got, you know, really good explosiveness off the snap. I think that the one thing that, you know, you look at with him is that he has like a really nice combination of foot speed and upper body strength that you kind of look for in a left tackle. And, you know, it was another one of those offenses though. And we talked about it when we talk about it all the time with Greer, is that a lot of stuff is predetermined, right? So the ball's coming out a lot, quickly a lot, but I think that his run blocking is 100% there, and his pass blocking is pretty darn good too. I think the only thing that, you know, if I have to nitpick, is that he doesn't have like elite knee bend, and that leaves some to some like lunging, and he sometimes like leans forward to create leverage instead of bending himself in his hips and his knees down to get upward thrust. But I mean, he, like I said, you get tasked with blocking for Will Greer on his blind side, like, you know that you got like kind of like a franchise quarterback there, right? And I like that experience, because if you're going to be blocking Tom Brady's blind side, then you better be ready. You know what I mean? Like that's no easy feat, and he did it really, really well. And I think that he's the type of guy that could play left, he could play right. He reminds me, I said this earlier too, he reminds me a little bit of Isaiah Wynn, the way that he plays the game. I think Isaiah is a little bit more athletic and less powerful. Kajus is a little bit bigger. He's the type of guy, Kajus too, that like when he gets off the bus, you notice him, right? Like, he's rocked up. He is a ripped guy. He's got nice long arms to him because he's not like overly tall. He's not 6'6", 6'7", or something like that, like a Nate Solder or a Trent Brown. He's a little bit shorter, but he's got long arms to kind of make up for some of that. I also wrote down people mover with him in the run game.
Yeah.
He really does move guys. He's a big time run blocker. So, and I also like his diagnosis, his skills to process different stuff like games, like stunts and twists and stuff like that up front. He's really quick to click into those, and he's able to pick those up. I think that he's another one of those guys where I'm really interested to see where he goes, because his tape is top 50 prospect in the draft, but he's not built exactly like how a lot of teams like their left tackles to be built. It's the same argument we had last year with Isaiah Wynn. It really is. So I think that that's going to be an interesting element to this whole draft, really, for the offensive line, where a lot of these guys go after guys like Jonah Williams and Juwan Taylor and Andre Dillard at the top of the draft. The next kind of wave of tackles is going to be really interesting, because there is so much depth at some of the other spots that, you know, teams could really get swept up in some of these defensive line talent, and a guy like Yadni Kajust, I could see falling to 56. And then what do you do? You know, then you really got to take a long look at it and think about it. All right. Speaking of guys protecting blind sides for Heisman Trophy winners, Bobby Evans from Oklahoma, pretty much the best offensive line in college football. And we were talking about the starting left tackle for the best offensive line in college football.
Yeah.
So you know that that's in itself going to take some hold some weight to it. Now, the interesting thing is that their right tackle, Cody Ford, is kind of like the first round prospect, right? Like he's like the guy that a lot of people talk about, but Bill Belichick actually let Jim McBride, I don't know if you read the piece, into his pro day visit. I think it was at Alabama or Georgia, one of those places. And he was watching, I think it was Alabama, because he was watching Alabama, Oklahoma from the college football playoff. And Belichick put the cursor on Bobby Evans and said some nice things about him. So that made him stand out in my mind. What made him stand out when you watched him?
I mean, that game, he played really well. You would think, you know, a lot of defensive lines like that would really overwhelm your left tackle, but that didn't happen. I mean, he seems to really know where things are, where defenders are going to come from. You know, he's a very strong guy. He gets that really strong base, and you just can't power through him. And he sets up a pretty, you know, giant frame out there when he gets his arms out wide. I mean, it's tough to go around him too. I didn't see a lot of flaws with him. You know, the one thing I will say is, like you said, there's when you're talking about these offenses, if you're in a 3-point stance, they're going to run it, and then if you're not, they're going to pass it. You know what I mean? Just feels like there's some of that, and
people wonder why there's an offensive line problem.
But I think he's a powerful guy. I think he's just got a good ability to stay in front of some really talented guys. And you know, I look at that Alabama tape, and you know, he was just solid throughout. I think Ford was the one who gave up a sort of a strip sack, but
yeah,
I don't know. I like him a lot.
He got beat by Christian Miller on one play, but it was Miller ran like 5 yards past Kyler Murray, and then like Miller's got some like insane bend and flexibility to him, and he kind of just like wrapped the corner. I don't know. I understand people have pointed it out on Twitter as kind of like this is bad Bobby Evans. That's like kind of why I'm bringing it up. And I think that there is some truth to like his depth out of his kick slide isn't exactly what you want to see out of his, you know, right out of his stance, and he can be susceptible to speed rushes. But at the same time, when you watch that Christian Miller rep, he goes like 5 yards past the quarterback and just kind of swoops back in. Like as a tackle, it's kind of like, what do you really want him to do on that play necessarily? I think the first thing that you pointed out though is what Belichick pointed out is that you're not going to go through this guy. He is 100% a brick wall. If you're going to bull rush him, you have no chance. So that I think right there is, you know, a very kind of good base for him to kind of, you know, lean on. Now, the other thing that he's great at is I put on Twitter when I did his thread, the run blocking is just incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy just absolutely destroys people in the running game. And he does it in every possible way that you can possibly do it as a run blocker. He does it with hand strength. He does it with leverage. He move blocks. He blocks at the point of attack. He down blocks in zone schemes. He's in gap schemes too. That's the cool thing about the Oklahoma offense is it is pretty zone heavy, but Lincoln Riley has like a few gap scheme counters that they go to when teams are really sitting on the zone stuff. And they do ask their guys to gap block a little bit too. So that's like kind of nice to be able to see not only, you know, everybody involved in that offense do a little bit of both. So there was definitely a little bit of that. And I think that, you know, he reminds me a lot of, you know, something that Trent Brown said to me when I asked Trent Brown, you know, how at 350 pounds and 6'7", do you not let the little fast guys get underneath you and turn the corner? And he just talked about how important it is to hit your landmarks, right? And just, you know, when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, who you know exactly where he's going to drop back every single time he drops back. If the play calls for a 3-step drop, Brady's taking a 3-step drop. There's no 3.5. There's no 4. Like, it's going to be exactly 3. So when you have that, all you got to do is hit your set points, hit your landmarks, and make people run through you. And when you're as big as guys like Bobby Evans or you know, even bigger like Trent Brown, who's just a mammoth, it's impossible to run through them. So that's kind of, I think, where the starting point with him is. And you know, maybe he has some trouble against speed. I don't know, though. He also played both left and right tackle at Oklahoma, so he offers a little bit of versatility there. Maybe in the Patriots scheme, he might be better off at right tackle as kind of like a Marcus Cannon replacement. But either way, he has some swing tackle versatility, I think, early on in his career. I think he can play left tackle. I think he's got the foot speed to do it. I think it's very interesting that Cody Ford is like the consensus better player.
I think
he is too. I have him graded higher, but I don't think that it's like as cut and dry, I guess,
I think people underestimate Evans a little bit.
You
watch his, he's just so consistent, you know. But But that's the that's the nature of it. When there's two really good players, everybody's got to pick one, and you know, you know, on the same team, that is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was on the team, man. I mean, that Belichick actually pointed this out too, was that the great part about that Oklahoma-Alabama game is whether it's this draft class, next draft class, or even the year after that, there is so much talent on that field in that playoff game, like so much NFL, top NFL prospect talent over the next couple of years, that watching them all play against each other is really kind of just invaluable for scouting purposes. That's like kind of the game that if you want to scout any of these guys, from Kyler Murray to Bobby Evans to Cody Ford to any of the guys on the Bama defense.
Quinnen Williams
basically wrecking every single play. That's like the tape that you turn on, because it's just NFL guys against NFL guys on both sides of the ball. Really fun tape to watch. All right. The next guy here is an interesting one, and that is Greg Little, who I'm not sure if his attitude, there's a lot of question marks about his effort level. He would just kind of give up on plays at times and really kind of looked lackadaisical out there, but he has all of the tools for a starting left tackle, right? Like long arms, athletic ability, quick feet, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when I look at the guys from a pure body perspective, he looks he looks like the best guy just looking at him.
Exactly.
But that's been his way. I mean, he's been that guy since high school. He was a mega recruit from Columbia, Florida, or Lake City. And so he was he's always been, you know, like a projected to be this type of player.
Yeah.
And, you know, you watch his film and it isn't consistent, but his upside is really tremendous when you're talking about when he's playing well. Now he can be a little hot and cold, but that's one of the things that the Patriots do really look at. I remember it was at the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and we got to talk to Dante Scarnecchia, and I said, well, how do you scout work ethic?
Yeah.
And he said, well, if a guy is taking a playoff here or there, then, you know, that's work ethic. You know what I mean? So he's probably cutting corners somebody out somewhere else. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, he's not what they're looking for, but, you know, you can't ignore, you know, what he can be at his best, because at his best, he's a stud. I mean, he's long, he's powerful. You know, he could do a lot, but again, it was a very pass heavy offense, at Ole Miss. So you didn't get to see a ton of, run blocking, but he can do that. I'm pretty high on his upside, but like you said, you'd like to see more consistency out of him.
Yeah, I have him graded higher than a lot of people because of his upside. You know, and a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, but he's, you know, he's hot and cold. His motor doesn't run the way that you want it to. If there's one guy that I'm like pretty confident could get all-out effort from a guy, it's Dante Scarnecchia. And Scar talked about it a lot with Trent Brown. And Trent Brown talked about it a lot with Scar, about how those two guys would go at it at practice, because Scar would get on Trent Brown for, you know, effort and not playing to the speed that the Patriots want their guys to play at. And Scar said point blank that early on in the season with Trent Brown, it wasn't fast enough, that he wasn't moving, you know, his feet fast enough. He wasn't playing the game fast enough, a play speed type thing. And they had to kind of grind on him a little bit. And eventually, you know, obviously he got there and he played the game that they wanted him to play. When you just watch Greg Little move, his foot speed and his foot quickness and his explosiveness out of his stance is better than a lot of the guys that we've talked about already.
Yeah.
So when you watch that and you look at the long arms, you look at the ability to leverage blocks with those things, and you also look at some of the punch stuff that he does, and he has a nice kind of like independent hand usage to him, where he can just use one hand to kind of block guys and hold guys back, which is nice too. He has that basketball background to him as well. Yeah. He's a big basketball player, and you can kind of see some of that sliding, like in the basketball stance, like in defense that you would use. That shows up on his tape as well. Side note, though, before we move on, how was Ole Miss not better?
No.
Their
defense is terrible. They couldn't stop. It was literally in the 120s in terms of rush defense and stuff like that. They couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah. It's wild. Like, they had, I know that DK Metcalf got hurt, but even still, they still had DeMarcus Lodge. They still had, obviously, AJ Brown. They still had the tight end, Dawson Knox. Like,
yeah. Well,
they
have a lot of talent in those positions, but I wouldn't say their quarterback was as accurate as you'd want him to be. And they were really kind of, very pass heavy to the point where it was kind of predictable. And their defense was just horrible. It's as bad as, it was as bad as any defense I saw last year.
It's crazy because a lot of these teams over the years, and I know we talk about this all the time with your LSU Tigers, where like they have all this offensive talent, and for whatever reason, whether it's quarterback or coaching or defense or a combination of all three, they just don't, it doesn't translate into wins.
No.
And Ole Miss was 100% one of those teams. I mean, they had an NFL caliber left tackle, two NFL caliber receivers, two of which might be first round picks, and a top 100 tight end on their offense.
Yeah.
And they like couldn't win games. It's bizarre. But the next one here that we have is another kind of like late riser guy from a small school, Alabama State, Titus Howard, who has a pretty cool story behind him. He was a high school quarterback and then moved to tight end, and then moved to left or right tackle, depending, we'll get to that, depending on the quarterback that was in the game for Alabama State. But to imagine this guy playing quarterback, I mean, I think he's over 300 pounds now, is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. But the thing is like, he doesn't look like a guy that just picked up the position. He looks pretty polished to me in some respects.
Yeah.
His positioning is good. I love his athleticism. He played on the right side in the film that I watched.
Yep.
But I think he can definitely play left side in the NFL just because his athleticism is so good. And like some of the guys we've talked about, you have to go through him. And he doesn't necessarily have, he doesn't always look like a left tackle, like a little. But he's able to get the job done for the most part. And I think a guy like that who is that athletic and that sort of sound in general, is going to be successful. Now, there's not a lot of, film against like great talent, on his stuff, but he did well against Auburn this year.
Yeah.
He really, and they threw multiple guys at him.
Yep.
And it wasn't just, speed guys or big guys. It was a little bit of everything. And he was good. I was impressed. So I like him.
Yeah, so he went to the Senior Bowl, and that was kind of where, because a lot of people obviously had the question marks about him against like top level talent, and when he held up at the Senior Bowl, that was kind of where people were like, all right, this guy can really play. The interesting thing about it is that you mentioned that you watched him mostly at right tackle, and that's where a lot of his tape was. His Senior Bowl tape was mostly at right tackle too. And the cool thing about him though was that at Alabama State they had two different quarterbacks. They had a quarterback committee going on there, and they had a lefty and they had a righty. And when they put the lefty or the righty in the game, Titus Howard would flip, and he would always protect the blind side, whether it was the left-handed quarterback or the right-handed quarterback. So he could go from possession to possession switching sides, not even just game to game or week to week. So to be able to do that I think is really underrated and really impressive.
A literal swing tackle.
Yeah, a literal swing tackle. So you add that versatility to like some of the other great things that he does athletically and stuff, and that's like really, really that's like an offensive line coach's dream, right? Like to have a guy that you can seamlessly transition from one side to the other like that. And I don't think, you know, I know Trent Brown just did it here in New England and it's been done before, but it's really difficult to just switch sides like that. It's like going from writing with your left hand to writing with your right hand. You know, it's really not as easy as it sounds, and everything is just backwards, right, when you're on the other side. And a guy like Donald Penn, for example, in Oakland, who they just cut, they moved him to the right side to make room for Colton Miller, which is a whole separate rant of mine for another time. But they moved him to right tackle to make room for a rookie at left tackle, and his whole game went to shit. He really didn't play well, and he actually ended up getting hurt. And a lot of offensive line coaches and offensive line gurus on social media actually said that the reason why he got hurt might have been partially due to the position switch, because his feet were not used to that movement on the right side. So I think that, you know, being able to do that as easily as Titus Howard was able to do it for Alabama State is really impressive. And also, I think that he has some really nice movement skills too, to be able to mirror and really slide with ease on the edge. He doesn't like you said, he doesn't like pop off the tape when you watch him. Like, you're like, I started watching him at first. I started with the Senior Bowl and I was like, this is the guy? Like, this is the guy that people are starting to talk about as like a top 50 prospect. Like, I mean, he looks good, but this isn't like I'm not wowed by athleticism or anything like that. But at the same time, I think that he's a really just fundamentally sound and an easy moving guy that I think that, you know, as long as he can hold up against NFL power, I think that's a little bit of a question mark. Because his hand placement is a little bit off in strength, and his core strength and ability to kind of just like drop anchor and not get pushed back might be a little bit, you know, susceptible in early on in his career. But once he works that stuff out, I think he's really good. And like I said, the ability to just flip sides seamlessly like that is going to open up all sorts of avenues. And we're here talking, you know, from a Patriots perspective, I think that Isaiah Wynn is probably going to play left tackle for them next year, or maybe they pull like some sort of Trent Brown trade off again where they get like a veteran. But regardless, they really are kind of, I think, in the draft looking mostly for a swing tackle. And this guy has got all the upside in the world to do that. I don't know if he'll be there in a spot where they're comfortable taking another tackle that doesn't necessarily have like, you know, the start, like instant starter type tape. But he's really good, and I think he's going to be really good for a long time in the pros. All right, next one here. This guy, Max Sharping from Northern Illinois, is someone we definitely need to talk about. He is an extremely smart guy and extremely poised. I talked to him at the combine, and you can just tell that he is just, you know, he's like an adult, you know, like he's truly a very poised and smart guy. He was recruited by a lot of Ivy League schools too. So he's very, very smart in the classroom as well. And he just decided to not go there, but he allowed one sack in three seasons at left tackle. And it was to, I'm blanking on his name, but it's to a top prospect in next year's draft. So to a no slouch is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was looking up some of his stuff, and you see, like, All-American academic type stuff, like those type of awards. He's racking them up. And you know the Patriots love that, obviously. But, you know, when you watch him as a player, he's somebody that I think sets a pretty strong anchor. And, like, I think that's, you know, one of my favorite things about him. You know, he's, again, somebody that is, you know, usually in the right position. He doesn't get fooled by stunts or anything like that too much. You know, I think he's pretty good now. Is he, like, you know, somebody who's going to defend speed rushers all that well? I don't know, because I didn't get a chance to see him against those type of guys too often on his film. But I think, you know, he's somebody that, you know, I would put in that sort of swing tackle category.
Yes.
And I also think he's a pretty good run blocker too. I think he's good. It's just hard to know how good given who he's going up against sometimes. But I think he's a pretty solid player.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that he kind of just like knows his place in the scheme, right? And he also talked about at the combine that he really studied a lot of tape on his opponents, and he would kind of change up his approach week to week to best combat what that guy was going to do. And that is like Patriots written all over it, right? Like this is the type of guy that didn't just go out there and block, you know, just every week the same way. He changed up his landmarks. He changed up the way that his punches and the way that he was throwing his hands at guys to really kind of combat the best way possible for the guy that he was going up against. So you watch that, you hear that, and you're like, all right, you know, that on top of the academic stuff, and we're starting to really talk now. I think that he's more of a guy that I'd feel comfortable with them taking probably at the end of the third round or maybe even in the fourth round. We're talking about more of a swing tackle, like a really good third tackle, but maybe not a guy that ever gets to like starting left tackle, you know, kind of quality. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, that you need those types of guys too. You need that good depth. He's a good run blocker. There's a lot to be desired about his pass sets. His foot speed, like you said, is not 100% there. And his ability to change directions, I think, is a little bit of a concern too. There's his pass slide has like a little bit of a gallop to it instead of like a choppy, you know, like feet that you would like to see. But I think that overall, the work ethic, the attention to detail, the football IQ, and obviously the IQ in the classroom too, is just like the type of player that the Patriots like. You know, he just seems like a type of guy that they would really be able to get behind and say, we're going to work with this guy to fix some of the things that he has fundamentally wrong with him, and he's going to be, you know, on the team for at least, you know, the next 4 or 5 years during his rookie contract, which is, you know, what you want when you're taking a guy in, you know, the third or fourth round. You hope that you hit on some of those guys and they turn into, you know, stars for you, you know, like a Trey Flowers, who's a fourth round pick, for example. But you know, more times than not, then it's probably not going to work out that well for guys once you get to that point of the draft. Now, my question is does a team reach on him in the top 100, because he does have all the makings, you know, the size, the IQ, the ability to mirror pass rushers, all that kind of stuff is all there, and he's got some versatility to him, and experience as well. So we'll see what happens. But this next guy, speaking of reaches, is going to be the reach of the draft, I think, and that's Caleb McGarry, who all of a sudden has gone, in my opinion, from like a mid-round draft prospect to a potential first-round pick.
Really? I didn't know he's that fast a riser. I might not be playing close enough attention, but yeah, I don't know
if that's just like media rumors that people are throwing out, but all I know is that every single time I see someone say, oh, you know, Washington's Caleb McGarry has a visit with so-and-so, potential first-round pick. And I just, like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, really? Like, that guy?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, is I thought he did it pretty well at the combine. Maybe that has something to do with it.
He tested in the 73rd percentile at the combine at 6'7", 317 pounds.
Right, exactly.
So when you do that, you're going to get some buzz. Now, he reminds me a lot of, like, this year's Colton Miller, but he's not as athletic as Colton Miller. Colton Miller is like a freak athlete, right? Like 99th percentile type guy. This guy's a good athlete, but he's nowhere near as a Colton Miller type.
No, I do. There are some things I like about him though. I mean, I really do like how he plays in terms of, he's a fighter out there, man. He wants to go out there and kick your butt, you know, and that's what you want. And I think he's more of a pure right tackle. Out of most of the guys we've seen,
a lot of people have said that he might play guard, and I'm just like thinking to myself, a 6'7" guard, that guy is not going to be able to get underneath a whole lot of pads at 6'7".
Well, the thing is, he's 6'7", but he doesn't have exceptionally long arms.
He does.
You look at him, and he's sort of like you're surprised almost that he's 6 foot seven with those arms. So
he's kind of dinosaur-y.
Yeah, like you look at a guy like Reisner. His arms are, I think, a good 2 inches longer.
Yeah, so Cale McGarry's arms are a shade under 33 inches, which puts him in the 7th percentile for arm length.
Yeah,
is not great.
Not great, especially if you want to play left tackle, which he's. I just don't think.
I'm not a big arm length believer. Maybe that's just because I'm a big Isaiah Wynn believer, though. So right. I kind of, you know. But at the same time, I do understand the advantages of having long arms if you do have long arms.
Right. But I do like, you know, I do like his mentality. He's like I said, like we were talking about, he's a fighter in there, just sort of a mauler. And he is not bad against pass protection. I just don't think he's, you know, I don't think that's his strength, especially at the NFL level.
Yeah, he is a mauler in the run game. He's one of the better run blockers, I would say, out of this group that we're talking about today. He has a clip that I think a lot of people that are, you know, really draft obsessed have probably seen by now, where he takes Jalen Jelks from Oregon and throws him out of the club. And it's like pretty impressive. He does it with like one arm too, and he does it with great leverage, and he just drives him. Like, at first it's just like, all right, he's just gonna beat him at the line of scrimmage, and then like he continues to block him like 10 yards down the field and like, crosses him on his ass. So that all that stuff is pretty is pretty incredible to watch in the run game. He's definitely a people mover. He's definitely a tenacious run blocker. Now, his pass sets are a work in progress, to put it politely. He's got a lot of issues with his pass set. It's basically fundamentally a mess. You look at a guy pass setting like that, and I can just see good NFL scouts and good NFL offensive line coaches are going to look at his pass set and be like, this is, we're starting from maybe like, not square one, because that's unfair to him as a 3.5 year starter at left or right tackle, but square two, you know, like we're starting at a very low base. The biggest thing I would say that he needs to fix is that he's all over the place with his set points, and he narrows his base too as he goes and as he slides, which allows the bend of the edge to just, it's just too easy for a guy that really knows what he's doing when he's rushing the passer, like some of these NFL guys are going to be able to do. So he really needs to start from square one with his pass sets, but it's a fundamental technique issue. It's not an athleticism issue, because we know he's got the foot speed to do it. He was a good tester. He ran a very good three cone, a very good short shuttle, all that kind of change of direction, foot speed stuff. He checks all those boxes. So it's really just trying to get that out of him and be able to see if you can really coach that into him, because as a run blocker, he's already fully NFL ready. You know, he's really a mauler. He's got a good radar at the second level. He plays with good arm extension and leverage and all that kind of stuff. He loves to finish. Like I just mentioned that Jalen Jelks, little piece of tape. I just think that the biggest thing that he's going to have to do is be able to fix those passes. That's why I compared him a little bit to Colton Miller, because they have like similar strengths and weaknesses in that regard. But like I said, Listen, it's nothing against the player. I just don't see first round pick when I watch Caleb McGarry's tape. No. When I watched his tape before, I watched him a little bit before the combine, and I had him like really far down my board, like in like the fourth or fifth round. And then like he tested well at the combine, and people are starting to talk about him in the first round. And I like had to go rewatch it and be like, what the hell is going on here? Like, what am I, you know, what are they seeing that I'm not? But you know, at the same time, I think it's all about functional athleticism and strength, right? Like when you get a guy like that, that checks both of those boxes as a good athlete and a good guy at the point of attack, you kind of feel like as a coach or as a scout that you can fix the rest of it. And that happens so often with a lot of these guys. And that's kind of where it starts. All right. Before we wrap it up, we got to move into the interior for this guy, Chris Lindstrom from Boston College. The Patriots have always surprised us in the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they take an interior offensive lineman, and neither should anybody else. And if they're going to do it, they could do a whole lot worse than Chris Lindstrom, who's, basically just an awesome prospect.
He's an awesome prospect. Obviously, I'm a little biased because I saw him play.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, I saw him play in high school, saw him play at BC a lot in person. I saw him at practices. I saw him in games. This guy's as consistent as any offensive lineman in this draft.
Yeah.
In terms of play to play, snap to snap, game to game, year to year. I mean, just he's always doing well. So I mean, we've talked about this before, but I mean, he was a 235-pound high school senior, and then they beefed him up like crazy, and he was running a 4.9 back then, and now at 310 pounds, he's still running a 4.9 at the combine.
He's so lean too. Like he's like a lean 300 pounds.
Yeah, he's
not any fat on that body.
There's not a single better run or pulling guard in the country than Chris Lindstrom. He generates so much speed and power. It's kind of crazy. He's also, somebody that, the more you watch him, the more you're thinking, well, is this guy going to beat him? Is this guy going to get frustrated? Like you see a lot of this tape and sort of the guys that are going up against him sort of get tired, or they sort of, I wouldn't say give up, but they just get worn down by him over the course of a game, and he just doesn't get tired in the same way. He seems to be one of these guys that gains strength over the course of a game. I really like him. I think he's, very athletic. I was at his pro day, and obviously Skarnecchia was running him through a lot of drills, and he was running through him through a lot of drills that really highlighted – Lindstrom's strengths. And I wonder if, Skarnecchia saw his film and saw how good he moved and wanted to see, like, all right, how fast is he moving, or does the tape lie or something like that?
Yeah.
From what I saw, it seemed like Skarnecchia liked what he saw, and they went and had an interview right afterward. And here's the other thing, if they draft an interior lineman, I know, they need tackles and stuff like that, but interior line is not is a place you always want to have good depth, because especially with Tom Brady, like giving up that rush inside, like on the interior of the pocket, is the most dangerous.
Yep.
So
100%.
So I mean, if you can have a guy like Lindstrom, I mean, it's a win. Like sometimes you draft on need, but if a guy is falling that far back and he's that good, it'll be hard to pass him up.
Yeah, and he's just such a clean prospect on and off the field, right? Like this guy's just got a great makeup to him. There's like not enough good things that you can say about Chris Lindstrom. Like there's really not anything bad necessarily that on his tape, like you could nitpick, like about maybe his ability to like handle bull rushers and stuff like that, because he is a little bit smaller. I think the biggest question for me is he did play multiple spots at BC, and I know he played some right tackle at BC, and he looked pretty good in the tape that I saw him play. I watched a little bit of last year's tape to watch him play right tackle. Do you think he could play tackle at the next level, because he's athletic enough to play tackle?
Right. I think the thing about him is, that his athleticism at that position really serves him well. He doesn't have necessarily the body of one.
No,
but
he'd be short. He'd be undersized. He has the arm length, but he'd be undersized for sure.
But again, like a lot of people were saying when they were looking at Isaiah Wynn last year, that he doesn't have that he's a guard and stuff like that. So obviously, the Patriots don't put a ton of stock into that, I guess. I think it would just be a matter of getting used to the tackle position again, because he was so much. He played so much guard at BC.
Yeah.
I think, he's one of these guys though, that's so smart that, he'd learn the position and technique wise and everything like that. He'd have it down. Now, the thing is like he went up against great pass rushers in college, man.
Yeah.
You know, from Brian the interior.
And all yeah. those guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they played Clemson every year, so.
Yeah, right.
Not going up against scrubs.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you know, I don't know what his exact ceiling is as far as positionally. I just know that if he's a guard, I'm fairly confident this guy's going to be in the NFL for a long time and be like a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Yeah, I when I did my offensive line for my positional preview on the site, I just said that if you draft this guy, he's going to be a starting offensive lineman for you for the next decade, yeah. as long as he's healthy. I mean, the way that he pops on the tape when he pulls or when he climbs to the second level,
oh my God.
He yeah. is so quick upfield. It's I don't know if I've ever seen any offensive lineman that gets to a second level block as quick as this guy does. And I think that that's 100% what Scarnecchio was looking at, because you can really tell in the scouts, and Bill Belichick talks about this even too. Like, when you are standing next to these guys in person, you can feel the speed, right? Like, you can see it. It's obviously easy to see it on tape with certain guys, and it's easy, obviously, to test them in a combine, you know, like in a combine setting, like running a 40 or something like that. But when you really get up close there, I remember last year when the Patriots played the Chiefs in the regular season, I went and stood on the sideline next to the Chiefs warming up, and you watched Tyreek Hill run, and you were just like, this guy is like as fast as any human I've ever seen. Like, you could just see it, you know, like, and yeah. feel the explosiveness and the speed. And I remember walking off, and like I said to Alex Barth, I was like, this team is like a different level of fast.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a whole, and some Chiefs fan overheard me and he was like, yeah, we're pretty fast. And I was like, yeah, you are. And Chris Lindstrom's like one of those guys, right? Where you're just like, this guy is just fast. And his ability to make those types of blocks on the move and really affect the game that way is such a Patriots interior offensive lineman thing that they love out of those guys. And I think he also worked out, I saw a little bit, and he's training as a center a little bit to be able to have that versatility to be able to snap the ball and do that type of stuff. If he's your center and he's that, like, he's like a Jason Kelce type athlete.
Yeah.
So that's incredible too. So I think that, you know, he's the type of guy that you just draft because he's the best player on the board, and then you figure out where he's going to play after that.
Yeah.
And you really don't worry about too much about, like, you know, oh, we don't have a spot for him or this or that or the other thing, because he's just so darn good that, like, you want him on your team. It's that plain and simple. I love the guy, obviously. I mean, he's an incredible prospect. The only interior lineman that I have ahead of him in this draft is Garrett Bradbury, who's just a little bit, you know, a little bit more polished. But overall, I mean, both those guys, I think, are going to be studs for a very, very long time. And and Lindstrom, it's almost like he should be a first-round pick. And I don't know if he will be. You know, those interior guys in the draft like this with a lot of talent in all other places, I get it. But I mean, he's incredible, and teams that are really smart are going to be able to pick up on that quickly. And hey, it's good to have BC have some guys, you know.
Yeah, they had a lot of guys, man.
I think
well, that pro day was something else, because I've been going to BC pro days for a while now, and it's usually not like it was.
Usually not bumping. There's not a lot.
Well, usually there's a couple guys that might be drafted, and you know, but this year they could get 6 to 8 guys drafted. I think by you know, even more than that when you talk about like signed free agents and stuff like that. There's, you know, 10 or 12 guys that I could see on active rosters from this year's team. Because there are some guys who didn't go to the combine. They sent 7 guys to the combine, and there are a couple guys who didn't go to the combine who also had ridiculous pro days.
Yeah.
They had 2 guys run in the 4.3 range, hand timed, obviously.
Yeah.
They had 2 guys run in the 4.3 range that didn't even go to the combine. So, you know, they'll find a spot for those guys.
Yeah.
With Lindstrom, you know, one of the things I noticed is there's so many people there, and it was you know, teams were sending 2-3 guys. I think the Patriots had 4 guys there.
Yeah.
And you know how at some pro days, you know, the players will go through their stuff and they'll just go back and then they'll go through their stuff. And, you know, they won't really necessarily talk to too many teams. I mean, it felt like every team that was there took time to spend like 5-10 minutes to talk to Lindstrom.
Yeah.
You know, like there was so much personal attention. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go in the draft, but people love this guy and they should. And I think it also helps, you know, who is the guy from Notre Dame? Is it Martin? Zach Martin, who went to, he had such a great year for the Colts that, or no, excuse me, Quentin Nelson. He had such a great year for the Colts that will shatter a few stereotypes, in my opinion, about drafting a guard. Because he made that whole offensive line better. If you have a really elite guard, that's going to make your left tackle better.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that can really – he's one of those types of guys too. And, you know, again, we were talking earlier about guys that get out there on screens and get to the second and third level. I mean, you can't get much better than Chris Lindstrom for that, and the Patriots really value it.
Yeah, that's a great point about how guards make the tackles better, because the Patriots talk about that a ton with Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason and how much better those guys make and how much easier they make it on the tackles. And Trent Brown gave a ton of credit to Joe Tooney last year, too, about kind of making that transition easier for him and teaching him the position and coaching him up and making it easier for him to play on the field, even outside of just like IQ type stuff. So having great guard play and Quentin Nelson last year, I mean, he was a first team all pro as a rookie, which is just incredible. And you really can kind of see, I think that both Lindstrom and Garrett Bradbury, who we didn't talk about because I don't think he's going to be anywhere close to where the Patriots are going to be in this draft, but those two guys are guys that really are kind of maybe not on Quentin Nelson's level quite yet, but are guys that should reap the benefits of that, right? Like they should be drafted higher or be in the top 20 conversation because of what, you know, the value of a guard can be. And I know a lot of the analytics people out there are scoffing at us right now and are saying that, you know, taking the guard early is ridiculous and it has no value and yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, I really think that a lot of football and a lot of offensive line play in particular is building a culture. It's building a cohesive unit, a 5-man unit that has a kind of overall feeling of all out effort on every single play and take it personally when you lose a block.
Right.
Like everybody's going to lose a block here and that. And again, it's the NFL. Everybody gives up pressures. Everybody, you know, loses run fits. That's the way it is. But if you take it upon yourself to personally be offended by it, then you really start to build a kind of like a culture of, you know, excellence, a culture of we're going to be better than that. That's how you get such great offensive line play out of teams like the Patriots, like the Colts, when you build that culture, and why teams that have poor offensive line play on top of maybe not having the talent, a lot of it is just kind of a group think type thing as well. So I think that Chris Lindstrom fits that perfectly. Like he's the type of guy that is going to, you know, kind of instill kind of a mentality in your offensive line. And that's really what it's all about for those guys. All right. We did it again. We went over an hour. is no surprise there, but I think that we did good. We covered all of our bases here. There's some late round tackle prospects that we can talk about another time. Some Trey Pimpkins references and Isaiah Prince and some other guys that are way further down in the draft that I somehow dug up tape on in some of these late nights over the last couple of weeks. But is there anything you want to tease or talk about that we did not mention?
For this weekend for Mass Varsity, BC Spring Game. I've been to a few of their practices. We'll get a chance to see AJ Dillon probably.
I need all of the AJ Dillon takes.
Yeah, you're gonna see. Well, it'll actually be on one of the ESPNs, I think, like maybe ESPN3 or ESPNU or something like that. I should know that for sure, but I'll be there. It's so funny to go to these BC practices because they'll do like offensive drills and like 11-on-11, and so like what will happen is like the first play every time will be like a run by AJ Dillon that goes like 75 yards for a touchdown. You know, it seems it's almost like a Hail Mary play when they give it to when they give him the ball. He's just so explosive. He's fast. He's big. But they got some other guys on that team that are bear watching. They've got a lot of inexperience on the field, but it'll be interesting to see if they can reload a little bit more because they really did lose a lot of talent to the NFL.
Yeah, they. There's a picture I mentioned it to you of AJ Dillon that went around Twitter. He is just absolutely jacked. Oh my god! Yeah, he was definitely in the weight room. You don't ever want to compare anybody to Saquon because Saquon's just a freak. But he has those thighs. You know, when you look at a running back, like you really want to see the explosiveness in the thighs. And another guy, Sony Michel, has some huge thighs on him too.
Yeah,
standing next to him last year, you could tell that the lower body, when you have those thighs, it's like that's where all of that explosiveness and all of that power comes from, and all that ability to accelerate and burst down the field. And AJ Dillon he is rocked up, man. I mean, that guy is ready. Like, he's like, I'm going to be a stud this year, and then I'm going to be in the NFL.
And he's, like, for as rocked up as he is, there are guys that are jacked and everything, but they can't run like this dude.
Yeah.
Especially in the open field. He pulls away from safeties and corners. I mean, he's the real deal.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching him this year. I told you I might place a little bit of a Heisman wager on him because I think he's like a nice dark horse candidate. I placed a Heisman bet on Saquon his last year at Penn State, and like he was the favorite for like 8 weeks.
Yeah,
and then ended up losing out to Baker, and I was like, oh man, I put it in at, like in like July, and he was like 16-1 to win it, and I almost scored on it. But whatever, you know, maybe.
Well, if you put down that Kyler Murray bet like I was throwing on on Twitter for a while, I think I forget what it was. I think it might have been 20-1 when I first opened or something like that. But
who's playing quarterback for Oklahoma this year? Maybe I'll just put.
Well, Jalen Hurts might.
All right, Jalen Hurts. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I think Tua is one of the favorites.
Lawrence from Clemson will be up there.
Oh man, it's gonna be a fun year of college football. This is a great draft though, and next year's draft is a great draft. There's a lot of really young talent coming into the league, which is exciting. That's always great, and some really young quarterback talent, which I think, like, when you really start looking across the league, there's not a whole lot of teams that need a quarterback right now.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. And even the teams that do need quarterbacks are often in positions to get guys that could really be the quarterbacks of their future. And you know, the Arizona Cardinals, for example, they're going to have a situation where they're going to get a quarterback probably in Kyler Murray, who's we all think is a stud. And then they're probably going to trade Josh Rosen to a team that either needs a current starter or a future starter. So that team's going to be set. So there's a lot of really good quarterback talent too that we're going to get to at some point as well. We're saving that one up until the end here, right before the draft, where we'll talk about all the quarterbacks, and we'll talk about Will Greer, and Daniel Jones, and Brent Rypien, and all those guys. On clnsmedia.com, quickly, you can go check out my positional previews. I'm almost done. I have safeties coming out tomorrow, and then that is complete. That is a wrap for those. I also have another mock draft coming on Monday that is a little bit different than the last mock draft. There's a big trade up that I'm going to tease that I think the Patriots might be interested in doing. So that will be out on Monday. And then obviously, you know, we're getting down to it now, where we are only a couple weeks away. So here on the podcast, we'll continue. We'll hit every single position before the draft. We'll also try to fit in a pre-draft, you know, preview type show of the entire draft, not just one position group. But until then, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.